Hello, this is Dan, the Rack of the Seats. I'm Ellen, Cinema Manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair, a film and theatre maker based on the Isle of Mull.
Alistair, what is this podcast about?
This podcast explores what happens when public spaces and the public meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? It's tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, wherever people meet, linger, and leave things or bits.
Alistair, you're in my house. You're right here. I could touch you.
Yes, I am. I have just touched your shoe as proof of such a thing. Yes. Sorry, croc. I do apologise. Campbelltown. I'm actually in Campbelltown.
Yeah. In Campbelltown. This is the first time that we have done this in the same room?
Yeah. We talked to Jim in the same room.
That's right.
But we didn't do the introduction. We did the introduction separately. So.
That's weird.
Yeah. You're actually. I really do feel I should draw like a rectangle. I'm here to work with Castle Hill Primary tomorrow, and I have 82 children for 6 hours to do the film Fundamentals with, which is going to be great fun. I'm looking forward to it immensely.
But. The fact that it's just you and 82 children has been making me laugh since you told me this afternoon.
Right, boys and girls, settle down. Oh, crikey. Yes, it's going to be, luckily there are teachers to help as well, which is superb.
Yeah.
But we also, importantly, have Mac with us as well.
He's licking where his leg should be. So there'll be noises off. There'll be dog noises, cat noises, and Alistair's stomach noises.
Yeah, well, I also did buy recently. I can mask it.
Oh, no.
Sorry. But years ago, watching Leslie Nielsen in interviews, I always thought it was amazing how he had a fart thing. I thought it was like a remote control thing, but it's actually a rubber sphincter. And it's, I bought one online after watching some interview recently, and he showed it how it worked. And it's just the best thing ever. So please excuse me if there are any the dogs interested. Good
just
boy.
Head tilts and confusion going on over there. Right, what are we talking about today? Because I haven't seen you for ages.
Aye, so there's a variety of things we need to talk about. I think we need to talk about Sinners.
Yes.
And we need to talk about the Minecraft movie.
Yes.
And we also need to talk about geopolitics.
Yes. Yeah. Should we do that one quickly first? Because I'd quite like to get that done out the road.
So yesterday it was announced that Donald Trump was going to put 100% tariffs on any foreign film coming into the US or any, and it's like, well, that's just awful. That is just the worst news you could ever imagine, and it proves among the worst news you could ever imagine for cinema, the cinema industry certainly, and it just proves that film is a potent cultural medium, a means of expressing yourself and your identity and your national identity through dialect, which we've talked again and again about this on this podcast. But it's about forms of expression that are true and inherent to you and your nation, who you are, and your culture you're expressing. And it's not something that's necessarily conscious, it's just something that kind of develops over time as well. I was thinking about this today. I love the Carry On movies. I think there's a lot to like in the Carry On movies. That's interesting to see your face up close. Go, where the hell is this going?
Just the segues of
must be ADHD. So the Carry On movies are very much, you know, part of a British or even more so an English cinematic identity. And I was trying to think about, you know, the Scottish films. When you talk to people about Scottish films, we tend to go, oh, Gregory's got a local hero, but nothing more than that, nothing recent, which is problematic. But Carry On movies, if you look at them, there was actually one Scot I can think of who was a leading role in the Carry On movies. And that was Carry On Abroad, I think it was with Jimmy Logan. And that's about all it is within that. So I think that's interesting in terms of kind of national identity stuff as well. But how, you know, what role is he playing as part of a projection within that? Because so many people identify strongly still to this day with the Carry On movies, and not as like they're, you know, they are great. This is the great totem of English cultural.
And unlikely to get affected by tariffs.
Well, you never said
where this started.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think we can all agree, bad. Let's move on.
Hold on, where's my hand farter? Proper whistler. To Donald Trump. So, Minecraft movie.
Mm.
How has the Minecraft movie gone down with your audience?
Very well. It's been huge, which is great. It's been an extremely well-needed injection of audiences. And repeat viewing as well, which is all the Holy Grail.
Oh, wow.
Always the Holy Grail, people coming back again and again to see it. And longevity, so we're still... I've just put it in for a sixth week, I want to say. And it will probably go into a seventh week. And that's always the thing that you
that's
really
amazing.
want, because of the way that the film pricing works. The longer that the film goes on, the less percentage we give back to... of the ticket sales, we pass back to the distributor. So from our point of view, we want a film that runs and runs and runs, as long as we have space, which sometimes we don't. Now, I wanted to record a podcast in the week or two after the Minecraft movie came out and all the things came out about audiences' behaviour.
Chicken jockey
and throwing things and genuinely disrupting screenings. I'm glad we didn't, because I think my view has changed slightly. And I realise that my view that I have now is from the privileged position of Campbelltown audiences being broadly fine. You know, I haven't had any of the people having to get thrown out. I haven't had anything
That's
thrown
good.
At the screen. I haven't had any sort of serious problems. What I have had is young people and children being excited to come to the cinema and engaging with a film in a way that suits their generation and suits the way that they engage with films. They've been watching the film. They've been sitting there enjoying it, interacting with it. And it's like, it's been like screenings of the Rocky Horror Show, where you do, it's this generation's Rocky Horror, or this generation's The Room, where there are certain things that you do at certain times. And it's been messy and it's been a bit annoying, but it's...
worth every penny?
I think, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that after a particularly busy screening where I've got to clean up a ton of popcorn and broccoli.
Is that one of the things?
It's one of the things. There's, people carrying broccoli.
Like for the trees, I guess.
I don't know, I'm very old.
He's very good with it as well.
It's been real. It's been, broadly speaking, just a joyous experience of people enjoying coming to the cinema and wanting to watch a film with other people rather than watching a film on their own.
On the toilet.
On the toilet. What?
Yeah, I always maintain that so much of film, like watching things on phones is on the toilet.
Yeah.
So much of my own
in
film.
In sort of 10 minute increments.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I mean, my heart goes out to bigger sites who've had genuine problems.
Yeah.
And I was concerned about halfway, sort of 3 weeks in, that one of the trends did seem to be trying to get yourself thrown out and then recording that and then putting it on to TikTok, Snapchat, whatever it is. I'm very old.
TikChat.
Snaptop. So I was worried that that was going to become the thing, but it doesn't seem to have been. The thing just seems to be shouting stuff and
throwing popcorn around.
Doing a bit of throwing of popcorn, and everybody's involved, so it's not scary. You know, it's not that there's a group of kids being riotous. It's that everyone is enjoying the film, and just the cheering. So there's a little end scene, which I didn't understand, but some 12-year-old boys explained it to me.
Mm.
And they were just so excited when somebody's name comes up, and they all did that. Everyone was just cheering, oh my god, oh wow, that's amazing. And then they're all like talking about it as they came out, talking to the staff,
lovely.
To a middle-aged woman about it, telling,
yeah,
oh, it's really cool because this and this. And it just allowed there's a little three-legged hop happening around him again.
Oh, that's so good.
So very. I'm pleased with that. That is what cinema has been for these young people.
It's ownership. They're owning the film. They're owning the kind of space as well. Yeah.
And if that's the sort of thing that that has to happen for cinemas to, for people to still want to watch stories in groups of people, that's great.
It's a really
if cinema has, if that's how cinema has to evolve, then I'm happy with that. What do you think? Have you seen it?
I've not seen it. No, I'd be really curious to see it. I went to see it when I was working in the Borough Hall. And I was working with children younger than him, and so he was across with me. And so I sent him off to watch that one afternoon while I was teaching. And he loved it, really. And he said, let's go tomorrow. We need to see it again tomorrow with you. I thought, that'll be really nice. But unfortunately, more work came up and I had to kind of not do that, which was a shame.
But the fact that he wanted to see it again immediately, he wanted to share it with you.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Super positive.
Yeah.
It's really lovely. So yeah, we'll try and see it with him. He wants to get it and watch it at home when it comes out, which will be good.
I'd be interested to hear Cole's response to watching it at home, whether he still thinks it's a great film.
He said he wants to watch it with his friends.
Right.
So it's a very much a group experience is what they're going for, I think, the interviews about it. I did see an interesting Instagram video of the phenomenon, and it was really fascinating. The cinema were very much part of it, and they had popcorn cannons, and they were actually blasting popcorn out into the audience.
Yeah, see, that I think there was a bit of ridicule about cinemas that were trying to
manipulate it,
get involved, because it's just, you know, that
it should be organic to the audience.
Yeah, and also it tends to be people my age thinking,
What
shall I do for the kids? Hello, what's that? Is it Steve Buscemi there?
Oh yes, from 30 Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it sort of looks a bit like that.
Yeah.
But you know, good on them for trying. But I think that might ruin it. If the grown ups get involved, then it suddenly becomes very lame.
Yeah, it's cool because what movie was the one where it was Despicable Me 57 where boys and girls were turning up in? Oh no, it was Playboys were turning up in suits.
In suits, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of a disruptor thing. Although all they were doing was standing up and walking out, which is weird.
Yeah.
So that was the start of it. So yeah, Minecraft, generally a good thing.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on the matter.
That's really fab. Now, the other one we're going to talk about is, there is the new film that came out, which I'm really, really keen to see, called Sinners. Do you have it coming to you soon?
We have it. We've got it coming late, so we're starting it on Friday.
Fantastic.
So I have not seen it, neither.
And are the audience anticipating it coming at all?
A few, yeah. It's got, they've done really well with word of mouth, and it's got a lot of buzz. It's another one that's grown its audience as we go.
Fantastic. It's really, it sounds so exciting. And the fact that he can get the rights back to it after 25 years.
Explain, because I think I'm sure you know more about the backstory of it than me.
Ryan Coogler, the director, has managed to negotiate that the rights return to him in 25 years' time, which is fantastic. Sorry, the microphone keeps being knocked over by a cat. It's really good news for creative people all across the industry, because 25 years is really just a flash away, unfortunately. Mm. But who knows what different forms of media there will be available then. So he'll, you know, when, you know, imagine he did it 25 years ago when he was, you know, 13, he's 38 now. He would be, DVD rights, streaming rights, all that sort of stuff would be his. And if more creative people can negotiate rights like this, it would be fantastic. But he's a particularly interesting creative person, because he's just made so many connections with so many people through his work. Creed was kind of the where I think he co-wrote Creed as well. Yes, he did. And he was also behind Black Panther, and so he's a voice of kind of sincerity. And so Sinners apparently is, I'm not sure if it's like the start of a franchise. I don't know if it's that idea as well. So if that's a successful franchise and he's got the rights, you know, he's already making enough from it from as it is, but he can make a lot more in the years to come if people really buy into this. You know, imagine George Lucas just was Star Wars, but imagine he made it through a big studio and then had that, he would have done quite well. But Star Wars was entirely his thing. It was American independent cinema, incredibly, which is hard to believe now, but yeah, so it's a really, really positive thing. And it's just nice to hear of a new franchise being started with something that's not based on anything else.
Yeah, so rare.
A 1930s vampire musical set in the Mississippi Delta, I mean,
brilliant,
fantastic.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, we'll come out. I will watch it and we'll talk about it again.
I look forward to seeing it in person at some point. And yeah, so one of the things that we were talking briefly about, which would be really nice to do, is to get a hold of other independent cinemas and talk to them about their kind of take on things. So I was in East Finchley at the weekend. I went to see my mate Kieran for his 50th birthday, and he lives in that part of London. And I was walking up the high street and I sent you a picture of this cinema called The Phoenix, which is a really interesting art house.
Incredible cinema, great, such a good reputation. They do amazing programming.
Yeah, so I went and chapped the door on the Sunday morning, and of course they weren't open.
Were you one of those people that was like, are you open? Huh? When the door is clearly shut.
Are you open, huh?
Yeah. Sorry, your door's not working, because it's not opening when I push it.
Are you open?
Yeah, that's because we're shut.
No, the blinds were down, so that was a good sign. Yeah.
Somebody in there hates you.
Yeah, so, you know, you need to talk to other people in cinemas across Scotland, the UK, Northern Ireland, even elsewhere. It'd be really nice. So, like, we've spoken to Kyle already, but it'd be really nice to talk maybe to Cliff at the Broadway Prestwick. So if you know anyone who's involved in an independent cinema who would be interested to share their experience of running it and tales of their audience and what it means to their community, we'd love to speak to them. So,
definitely.
That's a good direction for us to head in. But without further ado, to Donald Trump.
Okay. If you would like to get in contact with us, we are on downthebackoftheseats@gmail.com or downthebackoftheseats on Instagram and Facebook.
Thanks for listening. See you again soon.